Okay, good evening. Welcome back to Shmuel Beis. So we are learning Perek Zayin, and tonight, very interesting, not such a dramatic story. Last week we had a very dramatic story with David dancing and then Michal's reaction and confronting him. So this week, not such a dramatic story, or not really a dramatic story at all, but nevertheless, an interesting conversation and a nevuah, we'll see. So Pasuk Aleph begins, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, Vayihi ki yashav ha-melech b'veiso. David is sitting, settled in his palace, in his home. Hashem heiniach lo misaviv mikol oivav. And Hashem has put off all of his enemies. All of his enemies are to the side. They're at rest. They're not attacking David. And in fact, the Mefarshim say that this is really the precursor to the request that David is about to make. And we'll just, we'll spoil it right now, but David obviously is about to ask to build the Beis HaMikdash. All right, let's just look at Pasuk Beis, then we'll come back. Yomer HaMelech El Nasan HaNavi. So the king, David, comes and says to Nasan the Navi, Re'ena anochi yoshei b'veis ha-razim. See, look, I'm sitting in this nice, beautiful palace, cedar palace. Va'aron ha-elokim yoshev b'soch ha-yariya. And the Aron of Hashem is sitting in a tent. You know, what kind of business is that? Can't have such a thing. Okay, so the Mefarshim all point out in Pasuk Aleph that it makes sense that once David is settled, is at peace, he's in his home, nobody's attacking now, he doesn't need to go to war anymore, he doesn't need to go to battle. We will learn later, David's not done fighting, we will learn about other battles in the future with David. But for right now, things are calm. For right now, things are very quiet. The next logical step, says Rashi, is to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's the next logical step. Why? Because as the Malbim says, the Beis HaMikdash requires two conditions. And this is a theme the Malbim is going to take throughout the Perek. We're not going to be able to do the whole Perek tonight, but we'll do about half of it. But the Malbim says that the two factors that are necessary for the Beis HaMikdash are, number one, a king. A king is important. And number two, menucha from our enemies. When we have a king, and we have menucha from our enemies, so then it's time to build the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Rashi points out that if you look in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah says, "Va'avartem es hayarden v'yishavtem ba'ores asher Hashem Elokeichem manchil eschem." This is Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Yud. So you're going to cross the Yarden. You're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, the land that Hashem is giving you. "V'heiniach lachem mikol oyveichem misaviv v'yishavtem betach." And Hashem, very similar wording to the pasuk we have here in Shmuel Beis, Hashem will set aside all of your oivim, all of your enemies. You'll be secure and comfortable. And then, what's the very next pasuk? Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'hayo ha-makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokeichem bo l'shaken shmo sham. That place that Hashem has chosen to rest his name there, obviously referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Shamo saviyu eiskol asher anochi mitzava eschem oloseichem ezivcheichem asoseichem usrum asyedchem. That's where you're going to bring all your karbonos. So you see this connection, says Rashi, between this v'Hashem iniach lo misaviv mikol oivav, that we have this hashket vavetach, we're comfortable, we're secure, we're not being attacked, and then we have the next logical thing is the Beis HaMikdash. And David, says the Malbim, thought that these two conditions were now fulfilled, because he's the king, he's established, and we have peace, we're at peace with everyone. And therefore, it's time to build the Beis HaMikdash. Now, he wasn't going to do it on his own because he came to Nasan, the Navi, as every Jew should, and certainly every king. And he wanted to check with the Navi and say, listen, please let me know. What does Hashem want? Does Hashem agree with my cheshbon? According to my calculations, the time is ripe to build the Beis HaMikdash. I'm the king. We're established and we're at peace. We're safe and secure. But I want your affirmation. I want your stamp of approval that this is the right time to build the Beis HaMikdash. One just a side note that the Radak mentioned at the end of the Pasuk, in Pasuk Beis, when the Torah, when the Navi, I'm sorry, says, Va'aron ha'elokim, Yoshev b'soch ha'yiriyah, what are we referring to? So Pashup Shab, we're referring to the Aron, just the Aron. And if you remember, we talked last Perek about the fact that the Aron was in this tent. But the Radak points out that we're probably not just referring to the Aron here, we're probably referring to the Mishkan as a whole. Remember, at this time, the Mishkan was in Givon, and the Mishkan as a whole was there, and of course, all the kingdom of the Mishkan, including the Aron. But the Aron that they brought back was not with the rest of the Mishkan in Givon. The Mishkan was in Givon, and the Aron that they brought back was in Yerushalayim. So probably, says the Radak, we're not just talking about the Aron here. We're talking about the whole Mishkan, and the Yeriah refers to the Mishkan because it's a temporary dwelling. It's a temporary structure. Even though we're going to see that in Shiloh, I believe, the Mishkan was something of a more permanent structure. It was a building. It wasn't just a tent. But nevertheless, it sounds like the roof, even in Shiloh, was not a real sturdy structural roof. So this whole concept of Mishkan is referred to as Yeriah. You know, it's like a tent. It's a temporary dwelling. Okay. So let's look at Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Nosan El HaMelech. Kol asher bilvavcha leich asei ki Hashem imach. Very interesting. So Nasan says to the king, Nasan says to David, whatever is in your heart, go do, because Hashem is with you. Now this is interesting. Nasan here is not yet checking with Hashem. Now we'll see Nasan will get a nevuah. Nasan is the Navi. But Nasan is not here checking with Hashem. He's just telling David, was that whatever's in your heart, go ahead, right? Go for it. Now, what's the pshat here? Why is Nasan saying this on his own? So the Radak says that Nasan saw that Hashem was with David. And that's what the Pasuk says at the end, Ki Hashem imach. So Nasan sees that Hashem is with David. He sees that he's a good king. He's an established king. He's a proper king. And therefore, he says that, listen, you know, he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Nasan doesn't know exactly who's going to build the Beis HaMikdash, right? And Navi, the Radak points out, does not know everything. Sometimes, you know, kids in school make this mistake. They say, well, he was a Navi. How could he not know something? How could she not know something? He was a Navi. So a Navi doesn't mean that you know everything, right? A Navi means that you have the ability to see certain visions and images that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows you. But it doesn't mean you know everything. There are certain things that you may not know. Hashem didn't show you those things, right? So Nasan had no idea who was going to build a Beis HaMikdash. He knew there would be a Beis HaMikdash, but he did not know who that was. He didn't know who it would be. In fact, the Radak points out that Shmuel, who was a greater Navi than Nasan, keep in mind, when he went to anoint David, he didn't know which son it was. He came to the house of Yishai, and he thought Eliyahu should be the king. He had no clue. Shmuel had no idea which one was supposed to be the king. So you see, a Navi is not a know-it-all, so to speak. You see, a Navi is not just shown everything. Whatever the Navi is shown, that's what the Navi knows. So Nasan was not shown who's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't know who's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. So he thinks to himself, listen, it makes sense. David, obviously Hashem is with David. He's being successful. His Malchus is established. He's a good guy. He's a good king. He's a proper king. Makes sense. Makes sense. And therefore he says, Kol asher bilvavcha leich asei. Right? Kol asher bilvavcha leich asei. Then the Malbim adds a little piece here, and the Malbim says this wasn't just that it made sense to Nasan, right? That's the way the Radak seems to portray it, but the Malbim says there was an added piece here as well, and that is that he knew that David was a tzaddik, and a tzaddik uses, when a tzaddik uses his svara, he uses his logic to come up with something, we can rely on that. That's, as they say in Yiddish, oisgehalten, right? That's a good svara. When a tzaddik has a svara. And he quotes the Gemara that says that a person who's a rasha is guided by his yetzer hara. A person who's a tzaddik is guided by his yetzer tov. And a person who's a beinoni, like us, we're not a tzaddik, we're not a rasha, we're in the middle. So we're guided sometimes by our yetzer hara and sometimes by our yetzer tov. So a rasha, you can never trust his svara because he's always got the yetzer hara mixed in. A beinoni, like us, you know, sometimes he can, sometimes he can't. Not so simple, because we have Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov mixed in. But a tzaddik, a real tzaddik, he's guided by his Yetzer Tov, so it makes sense whatever he's saying, that seems to be the correct svara. Now, again, that doesn't mean that a tzaddik is infallible, a tzaddik is not going to make mistakes, a tzaddik doesn't have a yetzer hara. It does. But it means that most of the logic that a tzaddik is using to make decisions is correct, is proper, is thought out properly, and is using, you know, the proper yetzer tov. This, I think, adds a certain dimension to what people call das Torah. Right? People like to talk about this concept of das Torah. When they have a question, they go to the tzaddik, they go to the Rav, they go to the Rebbe, they go to their Rebbe, they go to someone for advice, you know, das Torah. So what's the idea of das Torah? I'm not asking him a psak halacha. I'm asking him, you know, what he thinks about this, about that, about the other things. Why am I asking a Rav? Why am I asking a Rebbe? Why am I asking a tzaddik? You know, I just like he can think the issue through, I can think the issue through. So part of it is that, yeah, sure, we can think the issue through, but we have a Yetzer Hara and we have a Yetzer Tov. And they're both getting mixed up into this decision. When I consult a tzaddik, when I consult a Talmid Chacham, I consult someone who's on a higher spiritual level than me. So then his das is much more swayed by the Yetzer Tov than it is the Yetzer Hara. And therefore, there's a greater chance that the advice that he's giving me is advice that's based on the Yetzer Tov. It's based on things that are good. It's based on the proper considerations and calculations. And therefore, it makes sense. It's logical that I should follow his svara. According to the Malbim, that's what Nassim was saying. You know, David, you're a tzaddik. What you're saying makes a lot of sense. And you're a tzaddik, so I imagine that your Yetzer Hara is not playing so much into this calculation. And therefore, yeah, kol asher bilvavcha lechaseh. Whatever you're thinking, go ahead and do. Okay, now, Pasuk Dalet, all of a sudden, Hashem comes and says, whoa, slow down. Pasuk Dalet, vayhi balayla hahu, vayhi devar Hashem el Nasan leimor. And it was that night when Hashem came to Nasan to say the following nevuah. Now, why was it that night? Right? So Pashup Shat, says the Radak, is that Nevi'im very often got their nevuah at night. In fact, most of them got their nevuah at night. Because Nevi'im, with the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu had a direct line of communication to Hashem, but all the other Nevi'im had to see some sort of a dream, some sort of a vision, and that very often happened when they dreamt at night. That was very often how they got their nevuah. So Pashup Shat is that Nasan is just getting his nevuah at night in a dream, the way that most Nevi'im get nevuah. However, the Medrash says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu quickly came to him that night to stop David in his tracks. Why? So there's two different opinions. But either way, they said if we don't stop David quickly, he's going to lose out. Why? One opinion says because David was so eager, he was so zoris, he was so zealous to build the Beis HaMikdash that as soon as he got the okay from Nasan HaNavi, Kol Asher, what was the language in the Pasuk? As soon as he got that, he already hired workers. David already probably hired workers. He probably is paying them already. They're going to come tomorrow morning and start construction on the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Hashem couldn't wait, not one day. He came to Nasan and he said right away, I need you to tell this nevuah to David HaMelech. He's got to stop. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is that David, again, because he was so committed to building the Beis HaMikdash, then maybe he would take a neder. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to benefit from this world until I go through with it and build the Beis HaMikdash. He would take a neder to show his commitment, to show his seriousness. And Hashem says, I don't want him taking such a neder. Why? Because he's not going to build the Beis HaMikdash, as we're about to see. Either way, Hashem hurried, as the Malbim says, Hashem hurried to show Nasan that David's svara, although it sounded like a good svara, although it sounded oiskahalten, but it was not a good svara. It was not a correct svara, and David's not going to be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash.
But wasn't Hashem, didn't Nasan, where did Nasan get his original, okay, he can build the Beis HaMikdash from? Hashem must have told him.
No, so that's what the Mefarshim say. The original okay was not from Hashem. That was from Nasan's own svara. Nasan just thought, you know what? David is suggesting this. It makes sense. It's logical. David's a tzaddik, and it's a logical svara. So yeah, you know, let him go through with it. But it was not from Hashem. This is the first nebuah from Hashem. Okay, pasuk hey, Lech v'amarta el avdi al David. Says Hashem to Nasan, go tell my servant David. Ko amar Hashem, ha'ata tivneli vayis l'shiti. Are you going to be the one to build a Beis HaMikdash where I'm going to rest? Are you going to be the one? The Mitzudas David, the way he says it, now this was like, as the Mefarshim say, B'tmiyah, this was a rhetorical question. Are you going to build the Beis HaMikdash? Meaning you're not going to. Right? You're not going to be the one to build it. So the Mitzudas David says, and this is something that he, again, takes through the Psukim, that Hashem is about to tell him, listen, David, I love you. Right? And I love you, and I've done so much for you, and I'm going to continue to do for you. But building the Beis HaMikdash is a big schos. It's a big privilege. And honestly, I've done so much for you already. I've done so much good for you. I've saved you countless times from Shaul. I made you the Melech, right? I've done so much good for you. This is not for you. This is not for you. This is for someone else. As we're going to see, this is for Shlomo. This is for his son. This is for someone else. This is not for you. I've done so much good for you already. Be happy with what you have. And that's it. Don't ask for more. Don't ask for more. That's how the Mitzudas David understands this. You're not the one. You're not the one. This is not for you. You have enough already. The Malbim says, it's a little more than that. And the Malbim says that, remember, we said that there are two conditions in order for the Beis HaMikdash to be built. Number one, you need an established king. And number two, you need menucha. You need peace from your enemies. Says the Malbim, these two conditions had not really been met. Why? Because even though it's true David was the king, it's not just any king. Shaul was also the king. But that wasn't good enough. Why? Because Shaul's melucha wasn't lasting. Shaul, in fact, that was it. He lost the melucha. His son, we know, Ishbosheth, took over for a little bit, but that was it. It didn't continue down the line. A melucha means a melucha that continues, that's eternal, that goes from father to son to grandson to great-grandson, etc., that goes down the line of the Masorah. That's what a melucha is. That was not yet guaranteed to David. David didn't know if his melucha was going to continue, you know, for generations, or if it would end just like Shaul's. He had no idea. So David's, although he was the Melech, that's true, he was the Melech, but it wasn't yet established in a way that would make it clear that we have an established, lasting Melech, that now we can build the Beis HaMikdash. That's the problem with condition number one. And in fact, says the Malbim, in some ways, David was still similar to a Shofet. Because if you remember, the Shoftim were also leaders. But the problem was the Shoftim, again, were not leaders for eternity. They were leaders for a generation. They were leaders for sometimes even less than a generation. And that was it. Their children didn't take over after them. There was no lasting legacy. They were a leader in and of themselves. So David, in a sense, is almost like a Shofet right now. It's true, he's appointed as a Melech and he's appointed by a Navi. So he's not really a Shofet. He's got more to him. But at the same time, we don't know that it's going to last. We don't know that it's going to be for eternity. And not only that, but says the Malbim, the second condition, that Bnei Yisrael have to be at peace, is also incomplete. Why? Because just because an enemy is not attacking you doesn't mean that you're really at peace. Because sometimes the enemy could just be temporarily subdued. You know, David is in charge. We don't want to mess with David. As soon as David's gone, we're going to pounce. We're going to attack. And we see this throughout Jewish history, where you have all of a sudden, there's a little weakness. We had that, as the Malbim says, throughout the period of the Shoftim, right? The Shoftim would be in charge. He would take control. The enemies would pull back. The Plishtim would pull back. They wouldn't attack. And then what happens? The Shoftim is weakened. The Shoftim dies. Boom. The enemies pounce. The enemies attack. They were waiting. They weren't defeated. They were just waiting. So here too, right now, they're not being attacked. Right now, Bnei Yisrael is not being attacked. They're not fighting. But maybe that's because they're waiting in the wings. Maybe they're not really defeated yet. Pasuk Vav. Ki lo yoshavti bevayis lemiyom ha'alosi es Bnei Yisrael mimitzrayim v'ayara yom hazeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes an interesting argument. He says, listen, David, right? I haven't been in a real house from the time we left Mitzrayim until today. I've been in the Mishkan the whole time, right? Meaning my presence has been in the Mishkan. I haven't been in a structure. I haven't been in the Beis HaMikdash. Hadavar dibarti es achad shivtei Yisrael. Have I spoken to one of the leaders? And Mefarshim understand that achad shivtei Yisrael refers to the leaders of Bnei Yisrael. Have I spoken to any of the previous leaders, whether it was Shaul, whether it was the Shoftim, other leaders, Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, have I spoken to any of the Jewish leaders, Asher Tzivisi Liroses Ami, as Israel, who I commanded to shepherd my nation, Klal Yisrael Lemor, Lama Lovenisim Libes Arozim? Have I asked any of them, why didn't you build me a house? Why didn't you build me a structure? Why didn't you build me a cedar, a house full of made of cedar wood, a sound structure of Beis HaMikdash? As the Metzudas David says, if this was the correct time, I could have asked anyone to build the Beis HaMikdash. We didn't have to wait until now. I could have asked Shaul. I could have asked one of the Shoftim. I could have instructed any number of people over the course of the last several decades to build the Beis HaMikdash. But I didn't. Why? Because it wasn't the right time. Because I have a time in mind. I have a person in mind who I want to build the Beis HaMikdash. And that time and that person have not yet arrived. Pasuk Ches. V'yata kosomai le'avdi le'david. And again, he tells Nasan HaNavi, please tell my servant David, Komar Shem Tzivakos. Ani lekach ticha min hanove me'achar ratzon. He says, David, I took you from the sheep's pen, right? You were a shepherd. You were following the sheep. And I plucked you out of that situation of being a shepherd. Lihiyos nagid al ami al Yisrael, to be the leader over my nation, over Klal Yisrael. And again, according to the Mitzvah David, he's saying that this is all the good that I did for you. You used to be a plain shepherd. You used to be a lowly shepherd. And I plucked you out and I made you into the king. I made you into the leader of the Jewish people. Pasuk Tes. Bo'ehe ye'imcha b'chol asher halachta. I was with you wherever you went. Va'echrisa. I'm sorry. Va'achrisa. Va'achrisa. Es kol oyvecha mipanecha. And I cut off all of your enemies from in front of you. Ve'asisi lecha shem gadol. And I gave you a great name, a great reputation. You have a great reputation, Dov. That was from me. Kishem ha'gedolim asher ba'aretz. Just like any of the other great men and great people in this land, you have a great reputation. I was with you. I defeated your enemies for you. I ensured that you would have an excellent reputation. This is what I did. And again, according to the Mitzvah David, these are all the good things I've done for you. You don't need more good. You don't need to build a Beis HaMikdash. You don't need that tzchus. The Radak mentions, actually several of the Mefarshim, Rashi also mentions it, that the asisa l'chashem gadol k'shem agdolim. So the Pashup Shad is like we said, Hashem says, I made you a great reputation. I gave you a great reputation, just like all the other great people have a wonderful reputation. But they quote the Medrash, that the Medrash says this is referring to the bracha that we make after a haftorah. How do we conclude the bracha? Baruch Ata Hashem, Magen David. Right? We refer to Hashem as Magen David, as the shield of David. And that's what we talk. That's how we refer to a Jewish star now, also as a Magen David. But it comes from that bracha that concludes the haftorah, Magen David. Now, just like we make the bracha of Magen Avraham, right? Just like we talk about Magen Avraham, so too we talk about Magen David. And according to the Medrash, that's what this pasuk is referring to. V'yasisi l'chashem gadol, k'shem agdolim asher ba'aretz. Like the great Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, I gave you a great name. Right? Klal Yisrael is going to conclude the bracha following the Haftorah with Magen David. That's what I've done for you. That's an amazing legacy, an incredible legacy. Pasuk Yud. V'samti makom la'ami l'Yisrael. And I established a place for my nation, for Klal Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, of course, v'shachan tachtov v'lo yirgazon, and they settled there in Eretz Yisrael. V'lo yirgazon, according to the Radak, v'lo yirgaz means that they won't go into galus anymore. Right? They're here. They're here to stay. Now we know, of course, there will be galus later. We'll talk about that in a moment. V'lo yosifu b'nei avlo le'anoso, and the sinners. Right, the Gentile nations who were sinners, who were trying to persecute and oppress us, they won't do it anymore. Kasher barishona, like they did in the beginning. I made them secure again. The hatava, the wonders that I did for you as the leader of the Jewish people. Now the Radak also quotes Chazal, who say that this pasuk is also not just referring to Eretz Yisrael in general, the Samti Makom La'ami LeYisrael, Pasha Pshat, it's referring to Eretz Yisrael. Not only that, but he says that according to Chazal, it's also referring to the Beis HaMikdash. That the Samti Makom La'ami LeYisrael is referring to the Beis HaMikdash and the Tatif, that I established it. Right? We're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to establish it. B'shachan Tachtov V'lo Yirgaz, that we won't go into exile. Now, that's before we sin, says the Radak. In the name of Chazal, that's before we sin. Before we, if Kal Yisrael had not sinned, that's it. They would be in the Beis HaMikdash, and everything would be good. But once we sin, so now our security in the Beis HaMikdash is no longer there. And in fact, in Divrei Hayomim, instead of the way we have it in our pasuk, V'lo Yosifu B'nei Avlo La'anoso, in Divrei Hayomim changes the wording to V'lo Yosifu B'nei Avlo L'chaloso. What's the difference between La'anoso and L'chaloso? La'anoso means to persecute us. They won't persecute us anymore. That's what we're saying in our pasuk. But in Divrei Hayomim, which is talking about after we sin, there they will persecute us. They won't destroy us, though. V'lo Yosifu B'nei Avlo L'chaloso. They won't destroy us after we sin. But persecute us, that they'll do. Right? That they'll do after we sin. So before we sin, things are much better than after we sin. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ulumin Ayom Asher Tzivisi Shoftim Alami L'Yisrael. And from the time that I have commanded and established Shoftim upon my nation, Klal Yisrael Ani Chosi L'cha Mikol Aivecha. And again, I put you at ease. I put you at rest. You're safe and secure from all of your enemies. V'higid L'cha Hashem. And Hashem told you, right? This is Nassim talking to David, that Hashem told you, that Hashem will make a house for you. What kind of house are we talking about? Says Rashi, we're talking here, and now Hashem, in the message to David, is transitioning, that now he's talking about David's house. David, I'm going to build you a house, not a physical structure. A physical house you have already, but I'm going to build you a house, meaning to make sure that you have a legacy, to make sure that you have a son that's going to take over your throne, that's going to continue your malucha. That's the house. Kivayis yaseh lecha Hashem. That's the house that Hashem is going to build for you. Ki yimla'u yamecha, pasuk yud beis. This might be a bracha. The Radak is not sure if this is a bracha or not, or it's just a statement of fact. But you'll have full, long days, a long life, a full life. Eventually, you're going to pass away. You'll be buried with your fathers. And I will establish your son, your descendant after you. Very important words. Who will come from inside of you, Vachinosi es mamlachto, and I will establish his kingdom. I will establish his kingdom. Now, the long life, the Radak says, it wasn't so long. It wasn't so long because the Radak says he only lived 70 years. He became king at 30, and he ruled for 40 years. So he was king for, he only lived for 70 years. But listen, Shivim Shana, that's certainly considered to be a long life. I mean, nowadays with the longevity we have today, it's not considered long, Baruch Hashem. But objectively speaking, that is an accomplished life. But what's interesting, says the Radak, is that when the Pasuk says, Vakimosi es zaracha acharecha asher yetzei mimeecha, that means that one of the sons that was already born cannot be king. It can't be a son that's already born. Because it says Asher Yetzei Mimeyecha in the plural. I'm sorry, in the future tense. Who will come from you? So it has to be referring to a son who's not yet born. And of course, we know who we're talking about. We're talking about Shlomo HaMelech. David at this point obviously didn't know about Shlomo, didn't know Shlomo was going to be the king, right? That he didn't know. He finds that out much later. We'll learn about it. But right now, David has no clue who this king is going to be, who his son is going to be, who's going to take over him. And Nasan, through Hashem, through Nasan, is hinting to it, but not quite telling him the identity of the son of the future king.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
I want to question, the temple was eventually going to be destroyed. So what difference did it make who built it? It was going to be destroyed. And Hashem knew that.
Right. Well, again, it's only going to be destroyed because of our sins, because of our chatoim. So theoretically, it can always have a different ending. You know, that's number one. Number two, even if it will be destroyed, but still, you know, this is something significant. This is a number, as the Mitzvot HaStavot keeps saying, this is a schus. It's something positive. It's a merit. Not everyone can be zoche to build a Beis HaMikdash. I mean, it's quite the feat. You're going to build a Beis HaMikdash and have Hashem Shechina resting in there. That's a big deal. It can't just be anyone. It's got to be the right person at the right time. Now that's what's necessary. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel continues the Nevuah. Who Yivne Vayis Lishmi? This son that I'm referring to, again, not by name yet, but he will be the one who builds the house, who builds the Beis HaMikdash for my name. V'chonanti es kisei mamlachto ad olam, and I will establish his throne, his malucha, forever. Ani eheyelo la'av, says Hashem, I will be like a father to him, v'hu yeli leven, and he'll be like a son. As the Radak says, it doesn't mean I'm not going to punish him. It doesn't mean I'm not going to give him Musar. Sometimes a father gives a son Musar. The father, Chas v'Shalom, never wants to kill the son, never wants to do anything bad to the son. The father wants to teach. The father wants to educate. The father wants to discipline. Some of that I'm going to do also with Shlomo. But it's going to be from a place of love. It's going to be from a place of a father to a son. Asher b'ha'avoso v'holchachti b'shevet anoshim uv'nigye b'nei adam. And when he makes mistakes, I'm going to punish him. I'm going to punish him, sometimes through men, sometimes through other means, but I'm going to punish him. The Radak points out that the Medrash says that this pasuk is referring to some of the challenges that Shlomo HaMelech is going to experience later in life, which we'll see when we get there. Tezvav, v'chasti lo yasur mimenu, but my chesed, my kindness, will never leave him. You can be rest assured it will never leave him. Ka'asher hasirosi me'im sho'u. Even though, right, I did take my chesed away from Shaul, Asher Asirosi Milafanecha, Shaul who was removed from before you. You became the king in place of Shaul. That's not going to happen with your line of descent. That's not going to happen with your son, with the son that takes over for you as king. Tes Zayin, V'neman Beischa U'mamlachtecha Ad Olam Lefanecha Kisacha Yehiyeh Nachon Ad Olam. And your throne and your malchus, just like today, it's established, it's secure. No one is questioning it. That's the way it's going to remain. La'olam va'ed. That's the way it's going to remain for eternity. Pasuk Yudzayin. Kechol hadvarim ha'ele uchechol hachizayon hazeh. Kain diber Nasan el David. Nasan gets this nevuah at night, and he comes to David, and he tells him the whole nevuah from aleph to tuf, the entire thing. Now the Mitzvot HaStavot points out something very interesting. Nasan had to change his tune. Because if you remember, the first reaction of Nasan was, sure, yeah, go ahead. Whatever you think to do, great idea. Go for it. All of a sudden, Nasan has to come back almost, you know, kaviyocho with his tail between his legs. You know, I don't want to say that. You know, but Nasan has to come back. He's a little embarrassed. He's being chozer on everything he said. You know, he thought one thing. And now Kadosh Baruch was telling him exactly the opposite. No, I don't want David to build the Beis HaMikdash. But he wasn't embarrassed. Why? Because he was a Navi Hashem. He was a Navi. And the Navi knows my job is to give Hashem's message to the world. So if Hashem comes to me and tells me I got to give a message to David, that's it. Is it embarrassing for me? A little bit. Because I'm backtracking on what I said. I'm telling him the opposite of the advice I gave him. I said, sure, go ahead, build the Beis HaMikdash. And meanwhile, Hashem says, absolutely not. He's not the one and now's not the time. And even though it's a little bit embarrassing, but what are you going to do? It's not about me, it's about Hashem. And that's the final lesson for tonight from this perek, that very often, you know, we're sometimes faced with embarrassing situations because, you know, we got to do the right thing. We have to do what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. Sometimes that's embarrassing. Sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. Sometimes it makes us look a little silly, you know, in certain circumstances. But that's it. It's not about us. It's not about how we look. It's not about how we're perceived. It's about the Ratzon Hashem. And if we have to do something, that's what Hashem wants, even if it makes us look, you know, a little less than ideal in our own eyes or in the eyes of others, so be it. That's Hashem's will, and that's what you have to do. So Nasan HaNavi comes back, even though it's a little bit embarrassing, and is chozer from his original advice and says, David, now is not the time, and you are not the one. It will come from your family. It will come from your son, but not you. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Thank you, everyone, for joining.